our encourager. And Lord, we just give this service to you. We thank you for just that we have the Word of God and that you minister to us in a powerful way. And so we just give you all things. So we just ask you to just move among us this morning, be our teacher. And that, Lord Jesus, we just ask you to anoint me that I just speak words of the Spirit and that people would be open to hear the deep things that you have to say in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm on. Hello. 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 Do I need to re-pray or did Joe get that? Awesome. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. We're going to start off with John 21, verse 17. John 21, verse 17. Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." I love this verse. I just absolutely love it. It's a good memory verse. Oh, I'm just joking. Good memory verse. But the Lord really has spoken this verse to me and just many times when I read through it. And it's emotional for me when I read it. And because what the Lord is telling Peter, and he's leaving, and he says, "Okay, I'm leaving this with you, Peter. I'm leaving." He goes, "Feed my sheep." Just think about what Jesus said. "Peter, I'm leaving you here. Feed my sheep." He left all those people. All those people. And so the admonition was to feed my sheep. How important that would be for Christ to say that, "Oh, I want you to feed my sheep." And so I was thinking about that this morning and this past week. And, you know, as this move up Sunday and, you know, the school starting up and everybody's starting a new curriculum and different new schools and stuff and the power just to learn different things. And so in a certain way, it's we do that in the church too, you know, with different Bible studies. We do different things and it's always a lot of fun. And I just kind of was led to share this morning about, you know, why do we teach these things? You know, why do we have a sermon? You know, why do we have Bible studies? Why do we have, you know, things like that? And the purpose is what God said, is to feed my sheep. You know, that's the purpose. That is the reason. You know, there's some religions, you go to church and you get a check mark. And if you get, you know, 52 check marks, you have a star in heaven or something like that, you know, like that. But that's not what it is. It's like, no, you're supposed to come together and feed my sheep. You know, that's what the Lord says. And it runs counter to the world. It runs counter to the world. And so we gather together and then we're able to, okay, here's what God's saying. This is what God's saying. And so we are trying to kind of a refilling, you know, a resetting of our vision and gaining strength from one another. And that's what it is. It's a fellowship of believers. And so that's the purpose of it when Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." And I think about it and I have them on my notes here. I have written prophecy. Maybe I should just write insight, or maybe I should write just my thought. But I'm going to stick with prophecy, and you can handle it the way you want to. But it's what I was thinking about is we look at the world, and we look at what's happening in the world, all the stuff going on in the United States and around the world. And, you know, in the most deepest intellectual way I can say, it's nuts. And just nuts, right? I mean, it's like, I don't know any other word. I mean, it's like everybody in the world has lost their mind. And it's like, Lord Jesus. And, you know, it's funny, there's not a sense of panic with Jesus, I noticed. There's not, you know. And I can get real panicky, and I go before him, and I've shared this with the elders and stuff, and I'll go before him, and he'll speak to me. He really does speak to me. He goes, "It's okay." I'm like, he ain't looking at the same thing I'm looking at. You know, it's not okay. Yeah, it is. It's okay. And so it's just one of those things, and it really is. He gives me a peace about that. I said, "No, it's okay. I got this." But in that truth, he's got this. Here's the kind of prophecy, and it's this. The spiritually weak, lukewarm, biblically ignorant Christian will not be able to survive Satan's attacks now and the ones coming in the future. Not going to happen. Those, and I'm talking to believers. I'm not talking to those outside the church. I'm talking to those within the church. Those within the church that have accepted Christ. Those believers that are just kind of treading water, you are red meat for Satan. You're red meat for Satan. He's going to get you. All right? And we see that's more. And that's the reason Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Because he's after my sheep. We think, oh, he's after the world. No, he's not. He's got the world. He's got it. He just kind of manipulates them the way he wants to. They don't even know what's going on. But the sheep are red meat. All right? And so, and the Bible says Jesus' own words that Satan is out to kill and destroy. Not to make your life irritating. He is out to destroy you. And so that's when we look at this and we say, feed my sheep. We see that it is important for us as believers to learn the things of God. We just can't tread water and just move through and think we're going to be okay. We're not. We're not. And the Lord has given us real clear direction. And therefore, because it says, feed my sheep, and this is what we need to do, because the spiritually weak are just going to really suffer tremendous loss. It is the responsibility of pastors and the church to feed my sheep. That's responsibility of pastors. Ever wonder what the church is for? It's to feed Christ's sheep. What a pastor supposed to do is feed Christ's sheep. It's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. And so the Lord is, so we look at this, what God continues to say, he's telling us, don't be deceived. Now he's talking to believers. Let's keep it in the building right here. He's talking to believers. He says, do not be deceived. Which means what? You can be deceived. Believers, do not be deceived. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved. That's God speaking to us. And look at Jesus' admonition, if you will, to consume the Word of God. To consume the Word of God. We have here in Matthew 4:4, I have the verse up here, Matthew 4:4. And Jesus is being tempted by Satan. Okay, this is one-on-one. And by the way, if you're ever going one-on-one with Satan, you probably lose. Okay, that's not a, and we praise Jesus that God's not going to put us one-on-one with Satan, all right? But, so it's not a good place to be, but here we have a one-on-one with Satan, and they're talking to each other, you know. So, I mean, Satan's a person, a spiritual being, he's talking to Jesus. And so he makes this, he's trying to get Jesus to do something, and Jesus answered, it is written. Now, just think about it, Jesus could have said anything. He could have said anything. Just Jesus said, all right, man, I'm with you. You say, I'm with, but that's not what he said. He goes, it is written. Satan, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now process that. Process that. You don't live by bread alone. I'm thinking, you know, we had an elder meeting last night. And I had a bunch of bread, you know. And it was good, you know. And I think I'm going strong. You know, I probably won't eat all day today. But he said, no, you're missing the point. No, you won't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How you're going to function is by consuming, like I did that dinner last night, consuming the Word of God. That's how you function. How did you do your devotion today? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Did you eat today? No, I forgot. Eat lunch? Forgot. For supper? I hadn't eaten a month, in fact. Not one morsel have I eaten for a month. Like you're dead, right? But spiritually, we do it all the time. Well, I didn't have time. I didn't read anything. Didn't look at it. It's just, well, I'll get around to it. Okay, you're dying. How? Spiritually. You're dying spiritually. Now, that means you're just not connected. God's talking, but you're not connected. See? And so that word here says you don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So there we have the thing, feed my sheep. This world is going crazy. And they're documenting their insanity. They're documenting. I mean, they're full swing. I mean, they will document and try to prove to you their insanity. And without Christ, you can't see the loopholes. You can't see the fallacies, you know, because you got really smart people documenting their insanity, you know. And so God said, no, I'm telling you here, you got to consume the Word of God, and then you can discern the truth. Now, why is he telling this us that? For our survival. So that we can see it. Now, I love when you look at these words. Take note, if you will. Take note, if you will, the proportion of the Word of God to otherworldly information. See, your survival depends on consuming the Word of God. Well, I have, you know, 1% here, 99% here. No, it's consuming. Look at the proportion. No, you aren't even consuming it. Because we know what's going on. The Word, that's really interesting at what it says here. And so, and then we also notice, of all the religious things going on, and any religious wisdom solely rests with the knowledge of the Word of God. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you cannot do something Christian in a religious sense apart from the Word of God. It has to be based on the Word of God. You know, I watch preachers and stuff, and I like to watch other preachers. Some of them, you know, listen pretty good. But it amazes me, the ones I watch that never open the Word of God. They never quote it. I mean, they get me up on my chair. I'm saying, hey, hallelujah, I want to send them $10. I mean, they just excite me, you know. But I'm thinking, he never cracked the Bible. The guy's a good speaker, he's charismatic. He never said one verse. You know, and I think, well, that's not, so I kept my $10. You know, it's like, I don't know. There's something wrong with that. But what it says is that everything for, in a religious Christian sense, is based on the Word of God. So we need to know it. We need to know the Word of God. Now, I love this. Jesus, I don't know if you know this, Jesus had his act together. He really, really did. It's just fascinating, you know. I've seen, he talks to the Pharisees, and the little sinful part of me goes, oh, I'd love to say that to somebody. You know, oh, I could stick it to them. You know, that was cool. Well, that's not really sweet and scriptural, but it's fun. Jesus had his act together. He could answer those questions. And I always love what Jesus did. They would ask him a question, and he wouldn't answer it. Praise you. He wouldn't. They ask him a question and he answers something else. He answers what they should ask. I mean, he's that's so dumb, I'm not even going to go there. This is what you should ask. But you read through the Gospels. I mean, it is stunning. They ask him this question and he gives them this answer. He goes, why did he say that? That's not what they ask. See, it wasn't worth an answer, what they asked. He just controlled the conversation like that and communicating the Word of God. So you got the scholars. You got the scholars. You got the Pharisees. And these guys are bright, okay? Bright religious teachers. And, you know, and they had, many of them, they have three-quarters of the Old Testament memorized. Some of them have all of it memorized, you know. So these guys were bright. And so, and they couldn't figure Jesus out. They couldn't figure Jesus out. So they come to Jesus. They come to Jesus. And they said, listen, got a question. We're going to ask you this. So he listens to him. And here's his answer. I love this answer. I just love this answer. But look at this. Matthew 22:29. This is his answer. They ask him a question. Jesus answered them, you are wrong. Because you neither know the scriptures or the power of God. Not only are you wrong, you're really just stupid. You don't know the scriptures. You do not know the scriptures or the power of God. See? And then he gives them an answer, and then they said they're stunned because he did know the scriptures and the power of God. So, I mean, I love that verse. But that's to us. We need to know the scriptures and the power of God. Not just know the scriptures and the power of God. They go together. Okay, if you just know the scriptures, you're going to fall short because you need the power of God to implement the things of the scripture. You see, it's important. You need to know the whole picture there. Now, so as we think about that, and again, put it in context here that there is the evil one, the world system, and the evil one is out to destroy us. And understand that, destroy, not irritate, destroyed. It's all through. Don't be fooled in what you see. The world system, as it operates, says the whole world's under the control of the evil one. And as it moves, it is out to destroy the church because the church stands counter to everything the world and the evil one is doing. You hear me? The church stands counter. You know, so we are here in the church, and Jesus said, Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep, okay? Because we're standing counter to everything. God knew the world was going to go crazy. He says it's going to get worse and worse. And he put his church. Church. He put you here. Yep, you. To stand counter to what the world is doing. And so what we need to do is we need to know the scriptures. We need to know the scriptures. And so we need to know the scriptures and the power of God. Now, I just want to go through some verses quick. Just kind of pull this together. And it's always been that way. Scripturally, we want to look at, in the Old Testament, look at Joshua 1:8. So God's talking to Joshua. So, okay, Joshua, go get them, buddy. Here's what he says. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Get it done. It's going to happen. But you gotta be careful to be in the Word and do everything it says, and then you will succeed. See? And what Jesus said, live on not bread, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Then you'll succeed. See, he's helping us out here. And then if we go to the next verse, in Joshua 1:9, and again, it's closely connected here. 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Now, who's strong and courageous? The one that is in the Word and careful to do what it says. And then you're strong and courageous because you know where you are. You know the Lord. You know who he is. And you can move forward in strength. You haven't fallen for the world's lie and all their documentations of it. Said, don't be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, how do we know that the Lord is with us wherever we go? How do we know? Because we're in the Word, we are in the Word, and we're doing what it says. Amen? So where does the strength come from? It comes from being in the Word and God speaking to us out of the Word. And now we can see the things of the world from God's perspective, you know. And it's like, okay, this is how we move. We see what's happening. We see what's happening. God told us up front what is happening. The evil one is at work. The world is at work for destruction. For destruction. Now, so equipped people are the strongest and most courageous. Equipped people are the strongest and most courageous. Equipped in the Word. They are the strong ones because they have a perspective and a sense of what God's doing based on the Word of God. Based on the Word of God. They are the ones who are not frightened and not dismayed because they know the Word of God. They are the ones who know that God is with them wherever they go. You know because of what the Word says. And so you're moving through this Word and every world and everybody's going crazy and you go, no, I can hold through it. I'm not going to believe the lie. I'm not going to believe the lie. I'm not going to believe the lie. And we're saying the Lord is with us. Now let's just jump. New Testament. Just same thing. The majesty and divinity of the Scripture is self-evident. Now look in 2 Timothy 3:16. We've looked at this a couple of times. 2 Timothy 3:16. Again, it's the whole Bible. The whole Bible is flowing. It's telling us the same thing. It's not pieced up. It's flowing. It's flowing. All Scripture is breathed out by God. All Scripture is breathed out by God. What Jesus says, oh, you've got to live by every word out of the mouth of God. Oh, it's all breathed out of the mouth of God. See, there it is. So he's telling us, and it's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Us who read it. us who read it. So when we read the word, it's like God's breathing on us. God is breathing on us, all right? But there's a responsibility for our effort to spend time that God will breathe on us, to go someplace where you will be, where the word of God will be preached. You know, you go there, why? For edification, to grow. Amen? Now, and so the knowledge of Scripture is necessary for us to function as God intended in this world. You want to function like God thinks you should function? You need to know the Word of God. You have to know the Word of God. Look at 2 Timothy 3:17. Breathe that word. We're reading to breathe that word. That the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped in every good work. How are you going to be equipped and complete in your job? How are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? I'm going to study harder. I'm going to get a PhD. No, you're going to be in the Word of God. And He will equip you in the Word of God in your job. How am I going to be a better mother? How am I going to know what to do with this? You're going to be in the Word of God, and you're going to be equipped and complete in the Word of God, and you will be that mother you're supposed to. How I'll be, just go on and on and on. Now, granted, you go to a job and you take a class or something, and you do those things for your job to learn physical skills. Yeah, you're doing that. You're supposed to do that. In fact, the Lord, if you read the Bible, actually tells you to do that as if you're doing it for God. You know, excuse me, but the Lord says, work your butt off for your boss. That's what He's saying. You know? Well, but that's in the connection, but that's putting in the biblical connection. I'm going to work so I can get this promotion, so I can get this, and so I get this. You probably will at the expense of God, and He'll leave you alone. Are you doing it because God told you to, and I want to see God work mightily? I'm going to take all the things I can that God provided for me, but my main purpose, anybody can do this job, but what they can't do is share Christ. And so the doors open because you'll share Christ, because that's the primary mission. The secondary mission is your job. You see what I'm saying? So where my thinking changes. And so when Satan attacks, we go, all right, being Jesus will defeat him there. And so I'm just going to watch, praising Him all the way, because I know Jesus has got this down, because I'm consuming the Word of God. And it's really difficult to do this when you're ignorant of the Word of God. You may not know this. I found out that God doesn't bless ignorance. I didn't, you know. You're ignorant. I'm just going to bless your socks off, you know. No, He doesn't do it like that. It's the commitment. And He says that. Commit your way unto the Lord, and I'll prosper you. Commit your way. You make a decision for Him, and then things fall into place. So here it is. But that's the whole thing. It's like lukewarm doesn't get it. I love what it says in Revelations. You know what it says? The church that's lukewarm. He said, I want to throw up. That's a literal translation. I just want to throw. I want to spew you out of my mouth. I wish you was hot or cold, but I'm sick of you. Lukewarm. If you don't do something bad, do it good. You know, but this lukewarm stuff. See, so God is telling us for that. So He's just telling us of our responsibility, and He's giving us in the Word of God. So what we have in the Word of God lays out all eternity, all purpose, all substance, all reasons for even living. And this is encompassed by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can't do it without Christ. It encompasses, the Word of God is encompassed in Jesus Christ. And look at this. And this is something we have to understand. Like reading the Bible, it's all about Christ. When Jesus comes back, when He returns, we're going, oh man, goodness gracious, wow. You know what I mean? Wouldn't you, right? Wow. Look what God says when He comes back. Revelation 19:13. Jesus descending from heaven, and the name by which He is called is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's Jesus. Jesus encompasses the Word of God. The Word of God is about Jesus. The whole thing is about Jesus. Genesis to Revelation is about Jesus. See? I mean, it's fascinating when you look at it. Now, so when I encourage you there, when I look at this, reason I paused. See, when I pause like that, I have a thought, and I'm like, did Jesus bring that up, or is that just some silly thing I'm going to say? I'm going to just put a little footnote here. As most of you know, the things how God led me, never been in church, around the church, or anything like that, and just long story short, and put a Bible in my hands, and I've never been to church, never read the Bible, and so I started in Genesis, and I knew that God was there, so I read from Genesis to Revelation, and came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Books about Jesus. The books about Jesus. Never went to church. Came to know Jesus. Reading the book. Reading the book. And being equipped in the book. Being equipped in the book. I thought, well, I think Christians go to church. So when I told Lynn, we got XYZ church there. Let's go look. It's Easter. I think you're supposed to go to church. She goes, okay, whatever. So we went to church. And so XYZ pastor goes. He says, oh, you're here. Easter, hallelujah. And he says, now I don't want you to get hung up on the resurrection. You know, some people get hung up on the resurrection. Don't worry about whether Christ rose or not. It's just about the good things he did. And I'm sitting there going, no, that's not right. That's not right. See, I read the Bible once and I'm smarter than him. I mean, and it's like, we left. I'll never forget. He said, oh, I'd like to come to your house. And no, it's all right. No. And so it kind of did me in on church. You know, it's like, Jesus is in the Bible. He ain't necessarily in church. See, so I just throw that in there. So here we are. And as I was thinking about this, we want to be always known as a church that preaches the Word of God, no matter what. Preaches the Word of God. And I just want to go over some things that you already know, but I wanted to just summarize some things of how we look at his church to feed the sheep. How do we look at his feed the sheep? And so, and I want you to know, everything in this world, any good thing, everything in this world can be done by anyone else in the world. I don't care what it is. Feed the poor, what I want. Anyone else in the world can do it. There's only one thing the world can't do. Preach the word. Preach the word. We're here to preach the word. Now, if you want to do the other stuff too, that's good. But we are here to do the one thing nobody else can do, and that's preach the word. And I'm totally convinced of that. You know, and I don't get excited about a lot of other things except preaching the word. Now, I fight you over preaching the word. And if many of you know me long, you know I fight you over preaching the word. And so, but the rest is, oh, that's good. Hallelujah. Hit it and get it. But I'm going to preach the word. Now, so I want to kind of put it in perspective because we want to be able to equip people in preaching the word. And only the preaching the word can only be accomplished by Christians. And that's what pastors in the church are supposed to do, is preach the word. Look at their doctrine statement. Spend 5 minutes in their sermon. Preach the word. That's it. That's the whole thing. I mean, there's a lot of social clubs, but it's not church, biblically. You see what I'm saying? And that's important. That's important. Preach the word. And so you balance everything with the word. Now I just want to touch some things. Okay, what do we do to preach the word? And I just picked out some and reinforce it, but I want to tell you why. Preach, first of all, like Sunday morning. It's going to preach the word. That's what you're going to hear. In fact, one of the criticisms I get is I'm too intense and I preach too much of the word. And I usually say, praise Jesus. I mean, because that's what I'm going to do. That's just what I'm going to do. And so it's because I believe that there's out to destroy you, so I'm going to preach the word. No matter what, that's what I'm going to do. And so it's important what to feed my sheep. That's just how I'm wired, you know. That's the passion. That's the passion. I still, you know, it's funny this morning. I just shared this with you. I got up this morning. I woke up this morning, 3:30, just wham. And it like, feed my sheep. You know, gosh, this is early. I could wait an hour, you know. Like, and I got up and I just started walking and talking. And I thought, gosh, I've done this before. I don't know why this is so intense. And I got fired up. And Linda says, you better settle down. You know, it's like, okay. But it's like, feed my sheep. It's preach the word of God. And so that's what we're going to do. And I know, you know, if I had, say, you got to preach here to 10 people, or you got to preach over here next day 10,000. I'd prepare as much for the 10 as I would the 10,000. Same message. See, I don't change. It doesn't make any difference. You say, well, you're going to reach 50,000 people. Okay, that's great. My routine would not change. I'm doing the same thing. You're going to get what you get. And if you come, there's just 10 of you, you're going to get all 5,000 worth of it. Boom, you know. So that's just the way I'm wired. That's just the way I'm wired. Now, also, I just want to add Sunday morning, and we've got, oh my gosh, I just want to touch on, you know, we've got our high school, senior high. We've got Drew and Fran. They're a gold mine. Drew and Fran are a gold mine. If I was 16 years old now and knew what I knew now, I'd just go and set Drew and Fran's feet. Just listen to them. Of course, when I was 16 years old, I should have been in jail, though. But if I knew what I didn't know now, I would just want to hear Drew and Fran. Just hear and be with them because I could see the truth in them. And they're so full of the Spirit and so powerful, you know. I mean, we got a gold mine in them. And so it's exciting. And they're putting into these kids. And this is a good place for kids to be leaders, taught to step up for Christ and to be leaders. You're going to send them off to college. If they ain't hitting it, getting it here, they're not going to hit it and get it in college. Drew and Fran will help them hit it and get it here, lead, bring people in, and they'll stand strong supernaturally. That's what Drew and Fran do. Amen? Hallelujah. Need to take advantage of it. Need to take advantage of it. What they're doing. The other one, Greg and Sophie doing the junior high. He's the elders. Anybody junior high kids? Anybody turn your decision making in your family over to your junior high kids? Good night, nurse almighty. You know, they're just all over. Here, Greg and Sophie pulling them in, trying some foundation, pouring foundation so that they can keep their act together so they can go into the school system and be positive influences. Amen? They put in it because we're going to feed the sheep. We're going to feed the sheep, and we're going to feed them here. We feed them here, you know. And so it's just powerful. Our Sunday school, Sydney Packard, she has worked so hard, and we've got wonderful teachers, wonderful teachers. And Sydney Packard has five kids, you know, like under 12 or something. I mean, I don't know how you do that. I mean, it's like, but she tries very hard, you know, and gets all these teachers. We got wonderful teachers, and people say, man, these kids know the Lord. They really have a powerful sense about it, and they pray, you know. And it's like, well, because that's what we do. We feed the sheep. We do it here. We feed the sheep. And so it's just powerful. So anyway, but that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're, and God has put people in here that have the capacity to do that, have the capacity to do that. The other one I just want to jump, I put the Bible overview. And the reason I put that there, and it's like 40 years of just going through the Scripture, and I put together this book and an overview of the Scripture. And what you have in the Scripture is how to use it. You see Christ from Genesis to Revelations, and you see elements of how you interpret that, how this thing is tied together, how it's pieced together, why, so you can use it and feel comfortable with it when you go through the Bible. Why? Because Satan's out to destroy you, and the truth is in the Scripture. And so where the men are going to go through that. Now, if the ladies want to go through it, I'll go through it. But you're too busy, you know. But anybody wants to start a class, I'll come and teach. I'll teach at the drop of a hat. I will. I love to do it. You just open the door. I'll come. All right? And so if anybody wants to go over the Bible over you. But again, it's so you can use it and so you have the tool. You know what the Bible calls the Word of God in the Bible? The sword. Go sick them. You know? Put a sword in your hand. See, so I'll spend the time with you going over that. But so you have the Bible overview. But there's a purpose in it. And the purpose is to feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. That's the only reason. That is the only reason. Now, and the other one is Holy Fire Tools. And this is so important, is the power of God supernaturally working, and he has left us equipped. Like Jesus told the Pharisees, he goes, you'll know the Scriptures are the power of God. This is about the power of God. It's the Scriptures and the power of God, but it's the Holy Fire's tools of how the spiritual gifts have been given us to penetrate this evil war in a supernatural way. And I've looked and studied it. I mean, there's classes on this that last a year. There's classes on this last, you know, of half a year. And there are books written about it. And I've looked and read through these. And, you know, and it's like, my gosh, this is a mess of stuff. And I said, what I did, I said, I don't think it's this hard. And I condensed it. 6 weeks. Gotcha. All right? Come on. 6 weeks, and you'll know how and see how be an avenue of exercising the Holy Spirit in all its way. Now, you have to be open. The Holy Spirit does it works and does the work. But you have an idea here about how to do it. 6 weeks so that you can understand and apply the power of God. Now, I can't imagine anybody saying, well, I'm not interested in that. What do you mean you're not interested? You've got to be interested in that. How can you not be interested in that? See? And so, anyway, but why are we doing it? I mean, I've taught it 10 times. I'm not getting anything out of it. It's to equip you. It's to equip you. That's the whole purpose. That's the whole purpose. So you will do well. So you will do well. We have, you know, Drew and Fred. It's so your kids will do well. Greg and Sophie, so your kids will do well. Sydney, so your kids will do well. We put everything we have so they can do well. And they're going to get the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit and the functioning, you know. Make them leaders. Make them leaders and step up and lead and be leaders. Amen? Hallelujah. I told you I was fired up this morning. Anyway, so it was the Holy Fire's tool class, and it is really powerful. But I, you know, succinctly, I made a little notebook out of that, but it's 6 weeks. 6 weeks. I have references, and you can go a year, okay? But they also charge you. You get it free here, okay? They'll charge you. Now, another one. I got to mention Alpha. I love Alpha. Oh, my goodness. It is the best Christian overview I've ever seen. The only thing that bothers me, it's out of the Anglican Church of England. How'd that happen? What good can come out of England? Okay. Oh, over there, Sophie came out of England. See? I needed that rebuke. But what it is, this is a powerful class, and it's 10. Now, this one's long. It's 10 weeks, and you got a, you know, Saturday thrown in there. But the overview is fantastic. It is fantastic, and I've been over it and over, and just I've taught it several times. And by the way, they have a video that's outstanding. This video, they put some time in it, and the video is wonderful, and you can go through that. But then you have an overall picture, and it's made for people that don't know anything, not one thing. And it takes you from zero and takes you all the way through the Christian faith. And people, and I've been people that didn't know anything and came out on the other end just on fire for Jesus. I have. It's amazing. So it's an excellent course. But I will add, it is excellent for those who know Jesus. Because it puts it all together and you see how it flows together. It's really powerful. It's really powerful. Highly recommend the Alpha course. Highly recommend the Alpha course. And if you have friends that have a question, it's fun. There's no threat. You watch a video, Linda fix a meal. I mean, people come because Linda fixed a meal. I mean, whatever. Whatever works, you know. But what happens is you sit there and it's so you can just kind of go through that and be comfortable with it and see how the Lord has put all this together. Why do we do it again? Because Satan is out to destroy you. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to feed. I'm going to study. I'm going to feed. All right? I want to, when I take my last breath, I want Jesus to say, well done, good and faithful servant, because I did what he asked me to do, feed my sheep. That's all he asked me to do. So I ain't doing nothing else. All right? Feed my sheep. Now, I want to go with this. Your primary responsibility is to do what no one else can do. Share God's word. That's your primary responsibility. I hope you do good in your job. I do. I hope you make $1 million in tithe. Oh, wait a second. No, I hope you do really good in your job. But your primary goal is to share the word. That's why you're there, is to share. Man, I hate my mate next to me at work. I can't stand it. Well, God divinely put him there so you can tell him about Jesus. Don't like that plan. That's why you're there, is to share Christ. Work is secondary. Primary is to share God's word. You're the only ones that can do it. Amen? And so we're doing all we can to equip the folks to do it. To do it. Now, tell you what we're doing. Here's what you need to do. Here's something you need to do. I'm going to pass this on. To be equipped, here's something you need to do. Here's a chart. I got a chart up here. To do this, to be equipped, you need to come to church. Now, I'm telling you, you don't get a gold star. You're just not. We're not going to give you a gold star. If you come five times in a row, we're not going to give you a Bible. It's just not going to do it. Yeah, not yet. But it's kind of like eating. It's kind of like, okay, I hadn't eaten in 2 weeks. Well, all right. You're hurting, not me. I mean, you need to eat something. That's like coming to church. You come to church to eat, to be fed. And I already told you, I'm preparing like 10,000 are coming. I'm going to feed, see, no matter what. In fact, if nobody comes from Linda, but Linda, I'm going to feed her. You know, it doesn't go over big, but I will do it. I will do it. You see what I'm saying? So church is not an option. I mean, all of a sudden, church is an option. It's become an option for your kids. What you're teaching your kids that God is an option and it's not important to you, it's what you're teaching them. I don't care what you tell them, that's what you're teaching them. So you got to understand that the church and coming to the church, it's a purpose. I never understood. We did the Ten Commandments going through it. One I never understood. I mean, of all the things you could say, just keep the Sabbath holy. I mean, come on. I mean, there are a lot of other things going on in keeping Sabbath holy. I understand it now. I understand it in Ashburn. Now, today, because it is not holy, and there's no time with the Lord. If you don't set aside a time, then no time. They didn't know time. See, it's not a law. It's like they didn't know time. So you have time with the Lord to be fed so they can be strong. So it's not an option. Again, no stars. You don't get the stars. And I don't give you a black mark if you're not here. Anything. So that's one. And here's the second one. And again, why I'm saying church is not an option? To be fed. You know? It's like, dinner's not an option. Why? To get fed. That's the only reason. Understand the purpose there. The second is read the scriptures. The Bible is really clear that you need to read the scriptures yourself. And I've shared over and over again, I said, just 5 minutes. Just try 5 minutes. And it's some tough stuff in the Bible. There's some tough stuff. But you just read, just spend 5 minutes. You know, and it'll grow on you, And it's spiritual, it's God breathing on you. So sometimes, you know, it's like breathing. You don't know what's said, but you know you've been breathed on. And so you just 5 minutes, and that will grow. It's important. It's important to do that, to survive, to prosper. The Satan is out to destroy you. And we're saying, spend 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Now, here I put number three, and I usually don't put these, but I put devotionals. Devotionals are good. They really are good. And because what a devotional does, these people have put things, usually they'll go through a year and write one for every day of the year and go through. But what you do, you have a lot of scholars come together, usually people from a long time ago, and they'll write snippets and really in-depth stuff and literally pull out little gold nuggets. And so it really is encouraging. And there's thousands of these things. I mean, there are... Everybody's written one. They're all over the place. So whatever one you feel good about, you read. Whatever one you feel good about. But I want to put these three here because I think they're extremely good. And the first one, which I think is the best in the entire world, okay? My just personal opinion, Upmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers. Now, this is a little tough stuff right here because when you read it, I'll read it, and it's like I'll put it down. It's like, oh, my goodness gracious. That hurts my head what he just said. It is so deep, and it is so poignant, and sometimes it takes me to read it several times. So it's a little tough sledding on here, okay? Oh, and by the way, I like the Oswald Chambers and all this depth, and, you know, this 80-year-old kind of dumped everything. He died at 40. 40 years old. My goodness gracious. So, but anyway, it's an unbelievable devotion. The depth of what he says there. Again, it's not easy reading. The next one is excellent. Streams in the Desert. Different people. And it's easier to read, but it's convicting. But it's good. You get an outside view. Jesus Calling. It's more contemporary. I was a little shaky about Jesus Calling for a while. But it's really good. I've been through it. It's excellent. Very, very good. But so those are three I would just recommend. So you got 5 minutes and you have a devotion to go through. So you have this little input. They're excellent. And I put Bible studies. It's good to take Bible studies. I mean, you just get, and you hear a different perspective and you go through. It's wonderful. And you see, I put there, the ladies do a great job. They just do. I mean, ever since this church was founded, it was like the ladies did Bible studies forever. Nobody told them to. They just do it. I don't think a guy has started a Bible study yet. you know. But the women do. I mean, they just do it in Bible studies, you know. And so they come back with all these things. I mean, Linda comes up, you need to look at this. I said, okay. And I'm watching, wow, that was really good, you know. And so anyway, but Bible studies are important to do. But that's on you. So those things, you need to attend church, you need to read scriptures, devotionals, and you need to do Bible studies. But that's you. Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? Yeah, no gold stars. Why are you? It's you, so you will survive, so you'll be prosperous, so you'll be victorious, so you can handle the insanity of this world. And this insanity of this world is demonically induced. Don't fool yourself. It's demonic. It is demonic. And so as a church, as Christians, we can see the demonic part of it, and then we won't get sucked into the lie. We don't get sucked into the lie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, but remember this, John 3:16. It's all about Jesus. Don't get off base here. It's all about Jesus. Remember, here, it's all based right here. Now, I give you all this stuff, what we're doing at the church. When you walk out of the church, you don't have to, you talk to people, it's John 3:16. Hey, God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son. What do you think about this? God so loved the world, gave his only begotten. What do you think about it? God so loved the world. Is that all you said? Yeah, God so loved the world. You know? Because like Jesus said, you ain't even asking the right question. See? So we just tell them what they can handle. It's God so loved the world because that's all they can handle. Now they accept Christ, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh man, we're trucking now. Right? We're trucking. See, so it's just, so we know, so we understand that. So, hallelujah. When we stand, I think we should just praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. And be excited about what the Lord is doing. And again, motivation means a lot. Motivation means a lot. Why are we doing something? So we can be fed, so we can fight the evil one. I want a sword in my hand, so I can fight the evil one. That's why. That's why, not getting anything from you, trying to give something to you, so you can give it to somebody else. Amen?